I'd like to say good evening again, and glad to be back with you for the second Sunday. I really enjoyed my time here last Sunday, and just really appreciate the positive feedbacks from a lesson. I think anytime you preach a lesson, you want to know that it is effective, and it's something that makes you start thinking about some things. And I think last week did, and I hope this week does as well. I've talked to a couple that said they really did notice how many prescription drug commercials were on television after last week's sermon. And things like that will start making you think. So I hope it does, like I said before, the hopes was to get some discussion started, whether it be in the church or in amongst yourselves or even in your homes, talking about issues with drug addiction. And so again, hopefully these two special topics, I guess that's the best way to put it, that I was kind of invited to speak to you on is something that will continue to make us grow and make us stronger as brothers and sisters, like the gentleman said in his prayer. As we go out into the world to ensure that, one, we're proclaiming what Christ wants us to do, but two, to ensuring that we continue to have the freedoms and the things that we're going to discuss tonight. So again, thank you again for the invitation. So tonight's lesson is dealing with freedom of religion in schools. Does it really exist? When you preach a lesson like this, you're not going to pull a lot straight from the Scripture, because I think sometimes it's just some things that need to be talked about. Some things that a lot of us know, or may know, or think we know, or we're assuming the wrong things. Because I hear a lot of misconceptions out in the world. I'm in school buildings every single day in my profession. I get to travel the state of Kentucky and go to all kinds of schools and educational settings where I serve on one of the boards for the state administrators in Kentucky. And this topic always comes up. Rarely is there a meeting or an executive board that I sit in that we don't talk about freedom of religion in schools. And again, as we go back to the history of time, you can go all the way through the records of when this great country was founded, and we know the emphasis of God in our schools, and we've noted the emphasis of God in our government. Now, unfortunately, we do continue to see those things removed. We continue to see religion moved out of our schools, for the most part. But there's some things tonight I'm going to talk to you about to let you understand that there are some freedoms that still exist, and we can build upon those freedoms. And again, I want us to approach this by the end of the night to have a completely different mindset when we talk about freedom of religion in schools, because sometimes I think we're our own worst enemy. And again, I'll explain as we get to the lesson. So freedom of religion in schools, does it really exist? Well, let's look at a couple court cases here, and I apologize for the small print. That's as large as I could get it. But this just happened. Okay, this is basically last month, okay? You've got this school in Missouri district under fire for school prayer. I'm going to read this real quick. It says, in early February, after a video of a midday prayer in the Hollister Middle School cafeteria was widely shared on social media, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter to Hollister School Superintendent. On February the 10th, the letter stated that organized prayer led by a youth minister was a violation of the First Amendment and must be stopped immediately. The foundation also stated that if it didn't receive assurances that the activity would stop, it would consider legal action. These were the headlines coming out just basically a month ago. And you stop and think, man, it was just a prayer in school. And what happened, there was a couple of students that decided they wanted to have prayer during lunch. It was a school of about 400 students, but about 200 of these students were in their cafeteria at the time. And so a young lady says, well, let's have prayer. And there happened to be a youth minister within the church or within the school there. And they ask him to lead the prayer. And, of course, someone videotaped it. And, of course, anytime you videotape something, you're required by law to put it on Facebook. And so they put it on Facebook. And what's funny about this situation of a school about 400, about probably the size of Mount Vernon Middle School, it may be a little bit larger than that. Somebody complained, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation is now threatening to sue. But what's funny about the complaint, it's not anybody from this area. It's from somebody in another state that filed the complaint, that saw it on social media, because it was something that was recognized and okay within that setting. And we see that all the way across the country. We see small pockets of areas where it's still acceptable, and sometimes people will push the law just a little bit, and they say it's okay to do things like this. But now, of course, they're being forced to say, you're no longer allowed to do this. And I'll explain what you are allowed to do here in a moment. But they're saying there was this youth minister, or this gentleman inside the school building that led this prayer. Now this was the headline, Missouri School District Under Fire for School Prayer. Gives you an opportunity to stop and think about, okay, there's an issue with school prayer. I'm going to show you the next headline that dealt with this. Now this right here, again, is oftentimes how media, the media that we unfortunately have to deal with on a daily basis, this is the type of things they like to publish. Heading, Christians forced, or Christianity forced on students at Hollister School in Missouri. Okay? So let's go back to the first headline. Missouri School District under fire for school prayer. But notice how this newspaper decided they would make it seem extremely negative towards Christianity. Christianity forced upon students at Hollister School in Missouri. It says, after the school administration of Hollister Middle School in Missouri allowed an outside group, notice they changed that, to come in and preach Christianity to a captive lunchroom audience, a parent contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation, following a letter to advise them of their actions that violates the First Amendment Establishment Clause, the Hollister School District continued to allow access to the outside group. Now, if you read that, it's kind of similar, but it's talking about an outside group came and preached Christianity when really it was a student that asked someone just to lead a prayer. And so the media starts entangling this web of deceit to most readers and tries to make it something that it's not. And we see that all the time. So this was in Missouri. But folks, this is in our back door. Look at these couple headlines here. Let's start in the 2013. Kentucky's Lincoln County High School has prayer at graduation despite objections from students. Folks, that was in 2013. And most of you probably still remember that. Young man was going to stand up, and of course, most graduations in this area, you lead a prayer. I was a high school principal, had it every single year. Students always led prayer at our graduation ceremonies. But two or three students within the class decided, you know what? Nah, that's a violation of my belief. And so it came under huge media attention, especially across the state of Kentucky, and it ended up going national. Let's look right here, 2014. This was in my own back door when I was still administrator in Casey County. It says, atheists display books in Casey County grade school. What happened is at that time, a group called the Gideons that most of us are familiar with had always placed Bibles within the school, and they would set them on a table, and students could come by and pick up these Bibles if they chose to. That's how they got around the law. They were not forcing kids to take them. It was optional. Well, this group called the Freedom Thinkers decided, you know what, if the Gideons can put Bibles in schools, then we can put our book that we've created. It was a little cartoon book, a child's book, that tried to make them think that there was no God. It had an atheist approach to it. So I remember us sitting in district meetings thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop this? And you know what the easiest thing for us to do? Let it happen. Because unfortunately, the laws binding allows religious freedom, not just Christianity freedom. And you sit back and you think, well, how as a Christian can I handle this? And you want to talk about some tough conversations that happened between us and the administration. It was tough. And this huge thing was blown up. We had letters from ACLU come in saying you got to be careful what you're doing. You allowed the Gideons. You have to let the Freedom Thinkers come in as well, this atheist group. So we didn't know what to do. That day, the attendance dropped to about 80% at that school. You typically run around 94, 95% of attendance, but parents chose to let their kids stay at home that day because they did not want to have their children experience this. And even though we tried to relay to the parents, we're going to put it on a table over in the corner, most of the kids won't even walk near that table. And so the media was there that morning ready for the excitement of this outside atheist group. They really wanted to publicize this. And the group came in, and they laid three books on the table and left, and we never heard from them again. Three books. But the goal for them was to see if we would stop it. And if we had stopped it, we would have been dealing with a lawsuit. Because again, when you stop and think about religious freedoms in school, we live in a society where there's so many different viewpoints when it comes to religion. So many false teachings that are in our society. But I try to tell people we're no different than the Apostle Paul. We're no different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. There's always been false teachings, and there will continue to be false teachings. And even Christ had to battle with it. Even though he was trying to deal with the Old Testament law, Jesus was even dealing with issues of them perverting the law to the point that it wasn't right. The same thing that happens today in our society. And so we're dealing with it here in 2014, the same as the writers of the Bible were dealing with it. Battle renewed over prayer before football game at Bell County High School, 2015. Okay, now this made national headlines. They had always had prayer before the start of the football game. And they decided it needed to stop because of a small group that came in and said, "You're forcing your religion on us." Now, the good thing about this, and we'll discuss that as we go on through here, is as school employees, when we look at freedom of religion in schools, I guess in a way you could say that our freedom of religion is restricted as employees because we're considered government employees. And again, there is a separation of church and state that we learn about. Even though it wasn't intended to be the way it is today in society, they're basically trying to eliminate any type of religion in schools. And again, adults' hands are tied, but our kids' hands are not. And we as Christians have to be comfortable with that. We have to be confident with that. And we have to teach our children what they can and can't do when it comes to this. Because this is a key to ensuring that Christianity and the teachings of Christ continue to carry on in our school system. And I'm going to give you some examples here. So, does freedom of religion in school, does it really exist? I went straight to the source that we think fights it all the time. We're all the time saying groups like ACLU, they don't want Christianity. Well, this is the response from ACLU. It says, "Religious liberty in public schools protects students' voluntary ability to pray and express religious viewpoints, provided that they do not cause a disruption or interfere with the education of other students. Students have a right to pray individually or in groups, express their religious beliefs in homework and artwork, where those beliefs are relevant to the assignment. They can read religious literature during the student activity times. They can form religious clubs in secondary school, and they have equal access to campus media to announce their meeting and to wear t-shirts with religious messages." Now that's from the ACLU. The group that oftentimes we do feel are attacking Christianity. And sometimes I don't agree with a lot of things that they do. But in the overall sense, they are protecting our students' ability to express that they are Christians. They can't take that away. And we can't allow our children to think that that has been removed from them. Because it's a responsibility of ours as older Christians to teach our young people, you have a right to your religion in the great United States of America. And our founding fathers ensured and established that. Yes, a lot of it has been perverted. But we still have that freedom. And again, this is the group that fights. But what oftentimes they fight again is a specific religion. You are allowed to have your own personal views and express those in schools. And sometimes it's hard to swallow as a Christian knowing these things. When I was principal at the high school, I had a group call me and he said, "Mr. Lee, I need to rent out your cafeteria for the weekend." Well, the gentleman was talking to me like it was somebody local. And I said, "Yeah, who am I talking to?" Went on to tell me who it was, didn't recognize the name. And I said, "Well, what group is this?" He said, "Well, we're basically... we need a place to meet." It was an atheist group. And they said, "We want to meet in your gym or your cafeteria." And so you're sitting there, and man, your things just start running through your head. And you know, I said, "Give me some dates, and I'll see what'll happen, and we'll work it out." And the gentleman hung up, never heard from him again. His goal was for me to tell him, "No, you're not coming in our school." And if I had said that, it would have opened a storm. So again, I guess sometimes we're forced to decide what hill we're going to die on. We've heard that phrase before. But I've learned over the years, a lot of times these things happen of people just testing the waters to see what's going to happen. But unfortunately, if they chose to have that meeting, I would have had a real dilemma on my hands of, do I continue to allow this to happen? What can I do? And I would have had to work my way around it. And hopefully it wouldn't have occurred. But unfortunately, if I was forced to make it happen, I would be forced to make it happen. And so we have to deal with things like this, but our kids, our students, not as me or those of you who know individuals who work in the school, their hands are tied a little bit, but our students, they do have freedom of religion. So let's look up here, a couple questions. Can students pray at school? Yes. Students can pray at school. Let me say that again. Students can pray at school. We cannot let our students think, or our children think, that they're not allowed to pray at school. And again, I know some of you know these things, but how often do we hear, well, they've taken prayer out of school? Well, it may not be organized like it used to be, but our children are still allowed to pray when they want to pray, as long as it's not causing a disruption within the school setting. I mean, we had groups that formed, and I know Rockcastle, the schools here, I know they still have groups that meet before school starts in the morning. Sometimes they meet after. Sometimes they meet on club days. They are allowed to form, and they're allowed to pray at school. But encourage your children and your grandchildren that they're allowed to do these things. If they feel they need to pray before lunch, they're allowed to. Teach them to have that courage. Because you know what? The example that they can show for a student that never darkens the door of a church is amazing. They can be strong, some of our strongest warriors when it comes to fighting the battles of the world. So teach your children, the school's not taking that privilege from you. It's taking the privilege of me as a principal or me as an administrator from leading that prayer. I'm not allowed to do that. But if a student chooses and the majority supports it, they can lead that prayer, even if there's dissension amongst them. So give them that courage and give them the confidence. Can I take or can I read my Bible in school? Yes. You can take your Bible to school. Let's teach our young kids. You can take your Bible to school. If there's a time that you know you're not going to be doing studies and you want to pull the scriptures out, you can read your Bible in school. And give them that courage, just like I'm talking about with prayer. So the response is yes, they can take their Bibles to school. There are still a lot of schools that have Bible clubs where the kids come together and they read Scripture together. And again, sometimes the adults get a little leery and they start saying, oh, you can't do that, I'm afraid we're going to get sued. But again, if we teach people their freedoms here in the United States of America, their freedoms in Kentucky, their freedoms in Rockcastle County, then we can continue to build on things and not let them think that it doesn't exist. Here's an example of some overreaction. Can I take my Bible to school? In an effort to protect the religious freedom of all public school students, the ACLU of Tennessee sent a letter to the school program explaining that students have a constitutional right to read religious texts of their own violation during free reading periods. The letter was sent on behalf of a boy who was allegedly stopped from reading his Bible. The administration took it too far. The kid pulls out his Bible. It was an after-school program here. And they said, you can't read that. You might offend somebody. They took it. Parents complained. And they were told, no, you have to let these kids read their Bible. Now, on the flip side of that, what if it's not a Christian? Are they allowed to read a Quran? Yes, they are. Are they allowed to read any type of material that they choose from a religious standpoint? Yes, they can. But again, if we're not teaching our kids to have the courage to know that you can do these things, as each grade moves on, we lose more and more students with the courage to show their classmates that they're Christians. And we can't allow that to continue to happen. And again, we can't allow our administration to look at it wrong, to make them think they're not allowed to do these things. We have to become educated on these issues. And I've been blessed in the areas that I've worked in that I've been able to do that. I do get a lot of phone calls from some of my colleagues. I've got friends who are administrators in Lexington and Louisville. And unfortunately, some of them are not strong Christians. So they call me. Am I allowed to let them do this? Yes, you're allowed to let them do that. They have all the freedoms they want. Students' freedoms have never been prohibited when it comes to this. Only the adults who work for the government are not allowed to lead it. But the kids can do what they want to do. Can students pray at school functions? We had the issue of the school prayer. In response to that, yes, they can. Okay? And this one gets a little hairy. This one gets a little tangled sometimes. Because, again, it has to be from the approach of student-initiated. And sometimes, you know, they talk about, I had a student that graduated under me, and her grandparents were from California, and most of their family was from California. And she came in and she said, "That was the most spiritual graduation I've ever been to." She goes, "Are you all really allowed to do that?" And I said, "What do you mean by spiritual?" And she said, "You all had an opening prayer and a closing prayer." And she said, "They would never do that in California." And I said, "Yeah, we do. And that is being battled. And I can tell you right now, we will lose that battle. We will lose the battle of putting on the agenda of a graduation ceremony prayer. But if we have a speaker stand up and decide to go into prayer on his own, then he has the right to do that. But again, on the flip side, if you have an individual that chooses to lead any type of prayer that may be against the beliefs of us as Christians, they also have the privilege to lead that prayer. So you stop and think of someone that has, you know, follows the false belief of Allah, but they choose to stand up and speak His name. We could not stop that. Because again, that individual is afforded their religious freedom. And you stop and think of, well, you know, that's the great United States of America, but it also is a stumbling block to Christianity. And it worries me. It does. But they still have that freedom, just like our children that we teach the true Scripture. They have their freedom as well. But I tell you these things because I want you to have a better understanding of this, and I hope you know it. If not, I hope I'm giving you good information to help carry and build up the church as we continue to grow. So, freedom of religion in school, does it really exist? Yes, it does exist. Okay, again, it can't be adult-initiated, but students have the right to pretty much do that, what they want to do. I want to read again the definition that I've already put up. And again, this is from the group that we see that we feel sometimes attacks Christianity. It says, religious liberties in public school protects students voluntarily. Okay, their ability to pray. It protects that. And if you go to their website or if you read some of their materials, they have defended Christianity as much as they have some of the other religions. And again, I'm not saying I support everything they do because I do not. Okay, I will repeat that. But they do stand for students' rights to profess Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Students have a right to pray individually or in groups. They can't stop them from doing that. To express their religious beliefs in homework, to read religious literature, meaning the Bible, during school time, and access to announce their meetings and things. So there is freedom of religion in schools. Now, our classes may not start the school day with prayer like they did in the good old days. Classes may not read the Bible to start the school day like they did in the olden days. School employees are not allowed to initiate any form of religion that attempts to proselyte or to convert, no matter what religion it is. But there is still religious freedom in schools. And the last two sentences that I put on here, or last sentence, we as Christians have to stop implying that they won the battle to remove religion from schools. Because they've not won the battle. And every time we say that they've won the battle, we give them more ammunition to build on. Now, have they restricted some things? Yes. Have they removed it completely? No, they haven't. And nor will the Constitution of the United States ever allow that to happen. Because again, we do live in a great country. Do we have our problems? Yes, we have a lot of problems. But we can't let generation after generation start thinking that their freedom to profess Jesus Christ is prohibited, because it's not. And if we can teach them to do that in our school setting, and we're lucky here because we still have a lot to push it. So I encourage us to teach our young folks to do these things. Now, the law of the land was established for separation of church and state. And I'm not going to get too historical or anything like that here. Don't let that scare you. But it is the law of the land. And we know that. Has it been manipulated a little bit? Yes, it has, unfortunately. But again, as Christians, we must abide by the law of the land. And we know that. Now, do we agree with everything? No, we don't. Should we stand up for our rights and can we try to change laws? Yes, we can, and we should. Those are things that we know, especially when it goes against the teachings of Christ and the Scriptures. Those are things that we should be doing. But we must exemplify the Christian example in doing so. We have to ensure people that if we're fighting for the rights of Christians, then we have to make sure that we're telling individuals and showing ourselves to be Christians as well. Because I've seen some individuals go and fight for certain things in school, and they went about it so wrong that if I was an outsider not knowing who they were, there's no way I would have believed that that individual was a Christian by the way they were acting, the way they approached it, the screaming and the yelling and the fighting. And it can't go to that point, because then we've basically lost the example of a Christian that we're supposed to be. But we can still fight to improve those things. This last sentence is something that I believe deep down to the core. You cannot legislate God into the lives of people. Okay? There is no law that can be written to make people believe in God. There is no law that can be written to ensure that everyone recognizes Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wish there was. But that's where we, as church, as brothers and sisters, that's where we come in building, ensuring we teach our children their rights in schools to carry it along. Because if we ever make our children think they can't do these things in school, then we're, again, it gets less and less and less. And the next thing you know, it doesn't exist at all. So we'll give you some don'ts. Now, these are some don'ts that I it could step on your toes, but I think it's some things that we have to ensure that we are doing right as the teachers of our young people. Don't demand the Ten Commandments be posted in schools. You say, what? How can you say that, preacher? But the reason I tell you don't demand it is because when you as a Christian don't discuss the Ten Commandments in your home. Why should we expect it to be posted in schools when sometimes we don't even talk about it in our homes with our own families? If you do, great, keep it up. But I know a lot of individuals who will fight for things like this. Say, oh, we've got to have those Ten Commandments in schools. And I ask the question, have you ever discussed it at home with your family? Well, no. That's the church's job, isn't it? No. That's part of it, but we have to do it in our homes too. I really, deep down, want the Ten Commandments posted in schools. But I say this to make us think. I know individuals that say, oh, we've got to have the Ten Commandments in our schools. And I say, name three of them. Tell me three of the Ten Commandments. They can't do it. Some can name one, two. But if we're fighting for the Ten Commandments, but we don't know the Ten Commandments, it's a false example. Don't demand that the Bible be read in school when you as a Christian don't even read the Bible in your home. Now again, I'm not putting these things to offend people, but I really want us to stop and think about these things. Why do we want some people teaching our kids about faith when we don't even teach our kids about their faith? Don't demand prayer in schools when you as a Christian don't even pray in your home. Luke 6:46, it says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, when you do not the things which I say? And that's pretty good scripture. Now, does it step on our toes? Yes, it does. It steps on mine. And I have to be reminded of these things if I can't allow the schools to do it for me all the time. There's a lot of things that need to take place in our homes. You know, we talked about the issue last week of drug addiction that continues to pull our families apart. And so that's where we do come together as a church, and we want to ensure these things are being taught. And we want to ensure our kids know you can go to school and talk about these things. Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it stop. You don't only talk about these things at church. We want to talk about them at home. We want to talk about them in our schools. And the more you do that, the more courageous people get, and then the more courageous our society gets when it comes to religious freedoms. I think sometimes we hunker down and we let them win. We say, oh, they took it away. And they didn't. It's restricted, but it's not gone for good. There's no way that it will ever be gone for good. I tell people all the time, you know, I carry my Bible with me, but I rarely read this Bible. Because my Bible is on my smartphone. Okay? This is my Bible. I've got every translation of the Scriptures right here. They're never going to take this away. They could burn every book, every Bible ever created now. It'll never go away because there's too much technology now with the Scriptures. The number one selling book every single year. Right here, people. It's not going away. So let's change our viewpoints. Let's change the way we look at things. And stop being so down in the dumps of, oh, they're taking this away. They're not taking it away from me. John Adams, this is a great quote. I love to read this quote. It says, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to a government of any other." And I truly believe that. Now, again, we have individuals who continue to try to manipulate and pervert the laws to move it away. But again, we can continue to fight, and we can continue as individuals and Christians to understand that we have religious freedoms that at this point, I really think it would be hard to be removed from us. But we have to be courageous about it. And don't ever think that we've been defeated. What's the old saying? We may have lost a few battles, but we're not going to lose the war. We know that. The Scripture tells us that. I'm not going to lose the war. I hope I don't. The only way I'm going to lose the war is if I choose not to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I don't care what the law of the land says. Again, there's no law that's going to make me believe in Jesus Christ. That comes right here in my thinking. And we have to acknowledge that. Romans 8 and 38 and 39. This is the scripture I would always read when I was invited to speak on some National Day of Prayers. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." There's nothing that's ever going to take that away from us. And I say that because if we can't continue to give people the mindset that they've defeated religion, especially our religion that's right. Again, I would always read that scripture when I was asked to speak. And then I wrote this poem, and it goes so much with religious freedom. And I wrote this about 7 years ago, and it says, "Yet I will still pray. You may bind my hands, yet I will still pray. You may steal my lips, yet I will still pray. You may blind my eyes, yet I will still pray. You may try to take God away from me, yet I will still pray. You may even take my life, yet I will be okay on Judgment Day." So it doesn't matter really what the law of the land says. Because as long as we continue to push and understand that we serve something greater than the law of the land. And we can't allow people to think that they've restricted our religious freedoms because they haven't. And I want you to have that courage when you walk outside the doors. And have the courage to profess that you follow Jesus. And don't give people the mindset that we've been defeated. Because we've not. We've not even come close to being defeated. We've still got a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. Again, have we had some setbacks? Yes, we have. But there's nothing that's ever going to stop our ability to pray, to have that conversation with God. Even death's not going to stop that, because then there we'll wait for the day of judgment. And if we've lived that life pleasing to God, then again, we won the battle, or we won the war then. So keep that in mind. Your kids, they can pray in school. Your kids can read the Bible in school. Your kids can form groups to discuss the Bible in school. Don't let them think that they can't. And I encourage you to push your students, encourage your kids to take that. If your child has to be an example and they're strong enough to deal with it and see if they're going to be restricted, fight that fight with them. Because they have that right. The Constitution gives them that right. To continue to ensure that they're proclaiming Jesus Christ. They may not be preachers. They may be babes in Christ. But we can't let them think that they're not allowed to do these things when they spend the majority of their time, where? In a school setting. So let them know that they have those rights. So I hope I've given you some information to talk about. Again, like last week, to let you know your freedoms and the freedoms of our kids. It's something that's very important to me, and I hope it is for you. But I do want us to change our mindset. It's not a mindset of defeat. It's a mindset of, you know what? We're going to keep pushing forward. We're going to continue to ensure that our kids know what they can and can't do. We'll sing the song of invitation tonight. You've had an opportunity to hear some things. Again, this is not a deeply scriptural lesson. It's more of some things we just need to know as Christians. But again, nothing's going to separate you from God. But there are some acts that need to be followed to ensure that. To ensure that you start made the right steps first, and then start living a life pleasing to God. And I encourage you to come as we sing the song of invitation.